is beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, dear friends. Great to be with you again. We're going to continue our series, No Zion Without a King, and No King But King Jesus. That was the rallying cry of the Americans during the American Revolutionary War against the British. No king but Jesus, they cried out. And of course, they were referring to King George over in England, who claimed he was the monarch. But they said, we will have no one but Jesus rule over us. A very worthy motto indeed, is it not? Well, we're going to continue that series. It's very, very important that we understand the meaning of Zion, the meaning of the heavenly Jerusalem. And, of course, we recognize who the king is. In today's world, friends, it's a great comfort to know that king, to know that he reigns on the throne and is monarch over our lives, that he is able to direct and guide us and has the power to do what needs to be done so that all things will come together for good to those who love him. In fact, that's one of the promises in the Holy Scriptures. Well, before we begin today's message, and we're going to have a beautiful piece of music from the cathedrals, In the Depths of the Sea. Very interesting title for a song, In the Depths of the Sea by the Cathedrals, a gospel quartet. We'd like to hear from you. If you're able to give to this great work as we go across the world with the gospel message, well, please do so as the Holy Spirit leads you. If you would like to affiliate, join with us, become a member of our congregation at large, why, just write us a letter and tell us that you love Jesus Christ, that you know him as Lord and Savior. And by your profession of faith, we'll believe you and we'll add you to our church rolls. I also want you to know that we'll be delighted to pray for you. Would you let us know of your prayer needs? We get many people who write to us, and I do pray for you. I promise that I will. So simply tell me what your prayer need is. And you know, I've always felt there's nothing that's so small that God doesn't want it brought to his attention. You know, he already knows. He already knows. He knows your past, he knows the present, and he knows the future. So he knows even that you're going to pray for things. You say, well, why should I pray? He knows all things. Because he wants you to demonstrate your obedience to him. And he wants to talk to you. And I think that's pretty impressive. You know, there are people who, if they got an invitation to go see a prime minister or a prince, a princess, or a president, or even a governor of a state, why, they would go bananas. They would just go gaga. They'd say, oh my, I've been invited. I've been invited to the White House to see the president. I've been invited to 10 Downing Street to see the Prime Minister of Great Britain or Queen Elizabeth or whatever. Listen, friends, listen. The King of the entire universe has personally invited you to sit down and pray with him, to communicate, to talk with him. Now, that's a great privilege. Now, don't tell me that anything is more important than that. Why should he spend time with you? Well, I don't think that he should. In fact, I know I'm not worthy of God spending one moment of his time. No, I'm not. It's a waste to even talk to a wretched man like Tex Mars. But you see, I've been invited. And compared to God, I may be a wretched person, but listen, I'm going to take advantage of that invitation. And he said, not only is there our Lord, but he's our friend. Now, when you've got a friend in high places, well, you better take advantage. He can pack a lot of influence, let me tell you. He can get you out of a jam. He can rescue you from perishing. He can keep you from falling into a pit, and he'll help you to get out if you do so. So you see, all those things, keep that in mind. The invitation stands. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Will you open that door? That's the key, my friends. Open the door. If you're unsaved today, listen, that stands doubly for you. Open the door. Open the door. Jesus is knocking. Open that door. Open your heart and let him in, and it will make all the difference. All the difference in your life. It will change you. You'll be a changed person. You won't be afraid anymore. You won't be worried about the things that come up, the daily stresses and strains on you, and even the crises and emergencies. You'll have a friend of great power and influence, who will help you and guide you and lead you along those narrow ways where you might fall off a cliff. He'll be there to keep you safe. You need that, friends. You need that. I don't care how much money you have. You could lose it tomorrow. I don't care how many friends you have. They can turn their back on you beginning tomorrow morning at 7:13 a.m. And I just made up that time. trying to convince you. And it's true. I've had people that I love dearly, and for one reason or another, they just betrayed me or turned on me. Did that break my heart? Yes, it did. But listen, I have never been betrayed by God. I was not always the friend I should have been to him. I regret that. I'm sorry, Lord, for not being your friend. But while I have not been faithful to him, he has always been faithful to me. He's always been loyal. He's always been there. And sometimes I disregard God and I don't pray. I don't listen to him. I don't read his word enough. And I have to repent of those things. And I have to go to my friend, Lord Jesus, and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. And always it seems God says, well, Tex, I'm glad you're back. I've missed you. He misses you when you don't pray and talk to him. Now, that's a strange thing, but I believe he misses you. He gave his best, his son, and he did it for you. Isn't that a remarkable thing? How much would you give for a friend? He sacrificed his very son. Would you give that much? I don't think so. Well, we're going to look at the King of Zion and go through the scriptures. First, we have the great cathedrals, one of the greatest groups of all time. Here they are, and I'll be right back with today's message.
Of God's forgetfulness. shackles. Gone are the stains. I'm free from the bondage, free from the chains. My sins are separated as darkness from dawn.
Gospel of Luke, and we read in Luke chapter 1 verse 33 talking about Jesus. It already tells us there that Jesus shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Verse 33 says, and he, that is Jesus, shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's why Jesus 10, verse 9, of Luke, told his disciples that when they entered into a city, they could heal the sick. He says, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. The disciples, we as disciples of Christ can say, we are the kingdom of God. And even though you're in this world, the kingdom of God is among men. Why? Because we have our King in heaven. No Zion without a King, and no King but King Jesus. I recently read a newsletter by a best-selling Christian author. He's part of the evangelical community. And he said, Jesus does not have a kingdom. He is not a king in heaven. He's just head of the church. But he's not a king. Someday he'll be king over the physical nation of Israel, which will rule over all the nations on earth. He'll come then, and then he'll be a king. But he's not a king right now. I read that. I tell you, I'd contain myself. Not picking up the phone and telling that so-called Christian leader he didn't know what he was talking about. Today we're going to do something. I'm going to show you where there is a false kingdom that is gathering steam right here on earth. It's really Mystery Babylon. It encompasses the earth. But I believe the United States and Israel are the two chief cornerstones of this Mystery Babylon system, this new world order, the United States and Israel. First of all, my friends, you have to understand what we're talking about when we talk about a kingdom. You see, there are two kingdoms. There are people out there that are trying to promote God's kingdom, and at the same time, they're promoting the devil's kingdom, and they don't even know the difference between the two. They're working for Satan their whole life away, and at the end of time, God is going to say, what were you doing? They're going to say, we thought we were serving you. Friends, Jesus said that is exactly. He'll say, look at all the things we did in your name. And he will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Friends, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James chapter 1, verse 8. You cannot toil for a physical Israel, and at the same time believe you're serving a spiritual, heavenly Israel. You understand that? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. But if you're fighting and striving and struggling to help promote an earthly kingdom, friends, you are a double-minded person. Don't claim you're a Christian. You're double-minded. First, let's prove the kingdom of Jesus Christ today and forevermore. Some say, well, he won't have a kingdom until he returns to earth and sets up the new Zion. Listen, he has been a king from the very beginning. And I understand that for whatever reason, there has been a rebellion here on earth. There was first a rebellion in heaven. God cast them out, the devil and his dark angels. And now they're roaming this earth, seeking to enlist people in their kingdom on this planet. And they plan to have this planet as their kingdom, earth. They're going to bring earth together with heaven and then assault the true heaven, the true Jerusalem in heaven, the new Jerusalem. The devil is planning to establish earthly Jerusalem as his kingdom. Then he's going to assault the new Jerusalem, and he thinks that that's what he should do. Well, he's in real serious jeopardy and trouble, but we won't talk about his destiny. You know what his pitiful destiny is, but I want to tell you about Jesus' destiny. You can read about what Paul said about it in Hebrews. God brought in him as the first begotten into the world. He was with God from the beginning, and yet he's the first begotten. You say, well, that's a contradiction. Hey, it's not a contradiction to me. Just believe it. John 1 says he was with God from the beginning and was God. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That is Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. And again, when he, that is God, bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Oh, he's king. The angels of God all worshiped him and do worship. And verse 8 says, this is God now speaking to his son, Jesus Christ. Unto the son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Wow. I love the way David put it in the psalm. The Lord said unto my Lord. Whoa, the Lord said unto my Lord. They're one. They're together. They were together from the beginning, God and his first begotten. 1 John 5, 7 says there are three that bear witness or record in heaven. These three are one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but they're one. Some say, oh, there's three. There's not one. Well, there is. Some say there's one and not three. You're wrong. There are three and they are one. You say, well, Tex, you cannot have it both ways. Well, you can if you're God. I beg to differ with you. And here is God speaking to his son, even though they are both one and yet individual in one sense, although they're never indivisible. I mean, you can't break them up. You can't separate God from his son. You can't separate the word from God. You can't separate the Holy Spirit. They're just one. They defy time and space. Yes, they do. They defy physics, although even the physicists are beginning to come around with quantum physics and understand a few things they've never understood before. They're just sort of dummies compared to God's knowledge of physics. The physics folks that we have, the professors and so forth, the scientists, they don't know a thimbleful compared to what God knows. But think about that. But unto the Son, he that is God saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Wow.
Verse 10 says, and thou, Lord, now this is God speaking to God. It's God speaking to the first begotten Son, Jesus. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. Isn't that amazing? God speaking to God? The Lord saying unto Lord, his Lord? Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. Who? Jesus Christ. He created this earth. Go back to Genesis and read. It says Elohim. That's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that God created this planet. Jesus Christ created it. Has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. And then verse 13 of chapter 1 Hebrews says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, as God has said to Jesus, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Wow. Huh. Incredible. Jesus, God, forever and ever, God with a kingdom. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is that Lord and King who created earth and the heavens, whose scepter to indicate his kingdom, his kingliness, let's just call it, his nobility, his royalty is righteousness. And you know what? You can be part of this great kingdom. You can be a citizen by accepting Jesus Christ in faith and being born again. You, too, become a citizen of the kingdom of God, and you are not an earth man anymore. I'm sorry to tell you that. No, I'm actually happy. But those of you who are mistaken, well, I guess I am sorry for you. Paul says in Hebrews 12, verse 22, but ye, he's talking about Christians, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Can you believe that? Hey, you're already residing on Mount Zion in a spiritual fashion. You're already a resident. Hey, you don't need a national ID card, my friends, to stamp you if you know Jesus Christ. You are a resident. That's right. You're not a resident alien. You're not an illegal alien. You are a bona fide, genuine citizen born into it. Born into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You don't have any need for some earthly Jerusalem. You don't have any need for some earthly domicile. You are not an earthling. You're a heavenly being. Why? Because you've got Jesus Christ inside. Ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, friends, I'm going to go a little bit further in this because it's so vitally important. In the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 35, Pilate stands there, Jesus before him. He says, you've been delivered unto me. What have you done? Verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. He never said he wasn't a king. He never said that he didn't have a kingdom. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. For his own reasons, and I think they're because of judgment and other things, Jesus is allowing the devil and his people to take possession of this little old puny little earth for a certain season. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? He asked Jesus, are you a king? And you know what Jesus said? And forget what all these Judaizers and out there are saying. Is Jesus a king? That's what Pilate said. Are you a king? He had just told Pilate, my kingdom is not from hence. My kingdom isn't from here. Nobody here on earth gave me a kingdom. Pilate said to him, are you a king then? Is that what you're saying? Listen to Jesus' answer. Oh, my, this will make you want to shed tears. This is incredible. Wow. Can you imagine God in the form of Jesus in the flesh, Emmanuel? And here's what he says. Thou sayest that I am a king. It's just as you say. That's an idiom, a Jewish idiom for it is exactly as you say. Exactly what you said, I am a king. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.